You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Monday. Welcome into a new week here at the Locked On Pacers podcast. I'm your host, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News. And we have a fun crossover episode again going on today. I don't know if you listened to our first one with the Pacers Pride podcast, but they're here again today. And my co-host, Adam Friedman, as always, is here with me today. First up, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm actually right now looking at one of your tweets about the Pacers schedule. Listen to that Nate McMillan thing about them playing every other day, and that is insane, and it's also going to be insane for this
for the
podcast.
Rest of the season. We're going to be cranking out episodes for you guys all the time. Recap preview. So mailbags might be scarce till the playoffs, but it is what it is. And as I just mentioned, also here is both men from the Pacers Pride podcast. Guys, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a pretty bad day yesterday, but putting that behind, and don't want to talk about it quite on air, but doing pretty good. Ready to talk some Pacers as always, and thanks for having us on.
Let's just say I'm not a wreck.
Well, thanks, Dylan. Thanks for putting it out there. Yeah, I got into a wreck last night, and I'm fine. Everyone's fine. So the cars, we'll see about it, but whatever.
You know what the best remedy for a bad day is? Talking about the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, I mean that always helps, and since they're winning right now, so that's
exactly. So I'm going to start this segment off with a gripe. We're going to talk about that Hawks game from last Friday. I look up at the clock in the fourth quarter. There's a minute 13 to go. The Pacers are ahead by 23. And at that time, Bojan Bogdanović, Corey Joseph, and Thaddeus Young were all in the game, and I was furious.
Why?
Why are three starters in the game up 23 with a minute to go?
Because Nate McMillan loves to play his guys?
McMillan really does like to play his starters heavily. I don't know why, but I kind of agree with you. I mean, especially up 23, we don't need injuries right now because Vic's just getting off a loaded all-star break. Then obviously we're probably going to get into DC, but don't need our starters getting hurt. I agree with you on that one.
And Vic and Domas actually sat out the day we're recording Sunday. Vic and Domas actually sat out practice yesterday because of the heavy load from the All-Star break. And Domas was in the game too with about a minute to go. And when he came out after 30 minutes of playing time, he was kind of rubbing his calf on the bench. You know, stuff like that just makes me so mad, even though Domas had an unbelievable game.
I agree. There was a problem. Like, wasn't it earlier in the season after like a Miami road trip where we were up double digits and then we had a game against, like, I think Dallas? And we played heavily our starters for, I think, majority of the fourth quarter, and then they were tired and exhausted during the Dallas Mavericks game.
It was Orlando.
Yeah. Well, Orlando game, my bad. But same problem. I still don't know why Nate McMillan is reluctant to play anymore or go down more into bench depth than he is. But
so I want to defend McMillan real quick. All this hate. The one defense is this team has not played in 9 days. Whatever you want to call it, under their legs. Like, you look at the minutes-wise, nobody played more than 32, which is good. I mean, you had Depot at 28, Turner at 22. Foul trouble hurt him, obviously. Same with Depot a little bit. But overall, you saw nobody played over 32, so it's not like he was playing a guy who had already played 35 minutes for an extra 3-4 minutes. He's playing guys who were playing in the low 30s when they were still in the game, so it's not the end of the world, and he's probably trying to get guys back into the flow of things because it's been a while since they played. And they did struggle a little bit shooting-wise. They looked a little bit off most of the night.
A lot of them did. I would get the soundbite in, but because there's four of us, it just makes more sense to just describe it. But Mark Monteith actually asked about the minutes after the game, you know, in that situation. And McMillan brought up that Bucks game, if you'll recall, where they brought in some of the two-way guys and the end-of-the-bench guys with, like, 7 minutes to go. And the Bucks cut it to about 7, and then he had to put the starters back in. Mm-hmm. And Adam, I think you texted me and said, ask him about that tomorrow. but that was what he was talking about, is like, it's not safe until it's really safe, and I'm the coach and I get to make those decisions. So,
well, there's a difference between the Bucks and the Hawks.
Very true.
Valid counterpoint.
Yeah, I just think they didn't play that many minutes, so I don't know why it's that big of a deal. They don't play, they had 2 days off too. At the end of the day, it's like a minor thing. It's more important we look at it If let's say mid-March when they have played every other day for 2 weeks and then he's playing guys an extra 5 minutes when he should be giving them rest, that's when we just start complaining. But right now it's what it is.
That's fair. Yeah. I think the other thing is he I don't know your name. I'm sorry. Not Cody, other host. Go, say your name.
Oh, Dylan.
Dylan. As Dylan just said, they were playing the Hawks. Like, they're not going to blow that lead.
Yeah. I still would have liked to see maybe Poitras and TJ Leaf and McKinney Jones get more than 1 minute.
I think for Leaf, he's coming off that injury, so yeah, I kind of get it with him.
I didn't know how severe of an injury it was. I knew he was like limited, especially coming down to the All-Star break, but I figured since he probably took most of the All-Star break off, I thought he'd be more healed than he was, but I'm not much of an injury guy in terms of severity, so probably not as ready as I thought he was.
Yeah, we're about to talk about two injuries, but I want to shout out Poitras for scoring 2 points in his only minute. I want to see Poitras play a little more. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, his minutes are not going to with Robinson back.
Yeah,
dwindle.
Oh, Robinson's back. Maybe we should talk about that. Thanks for the
maybe just a little.
So before the game, that was obviously the story. It was awesome. Like we talked about, that he's returning against the Hawks team that he hit the corner three game winner against last year. McMillan had talked about a practice in before the game that he'd be playing about 5 to 10 minutes. He played a little, almost 19, right? 18:50 something. Am I have that right?
Yeah, 19.
It says 19. Yeah.
19 minutes. His first shot was quite the long air ball, but you know, when you have that kind of, excitement and to be back, you know, that's what you expect, but ended up with 4 points, 2 steals, and was playing pretty good wing defense. You know, he looked kind of like Glenn Robinson, but the thing that stood out the most to me is how Nate was using him. I asked about this myself, was, you know, was he able to play so much because he was just standing in the corner a lot on offense, like not moving at all. And I think that's kind of what Nate wanted, is him to space the floor. He talked about how he wanted Bojan to play more four with Glenn back and how they just want the floor to be more open for their guard. So he wasn't exerting a lot of effort on offense, but I would say, you know, pretty solid debut from Glenn. What do you guys think?
The most effortless 19 minutes of the season. Go ahead, Dylan.
I watched the beginning, which was the majority of when Glenn Robinson played, and I was more impressed with his defense.
I agree.
And I've been one to bash on Bojan Bogdanović, which has more of a defensive turnstile more than anything.
Yeah, we've brought up that on our show lots of times, just he being a defensive liability out there. But go ahead, Dylan.
But, yeah, I was impressed with Glenn Robinson's defense. I thought he was playing everybody very well, which was impressed, especially coming off of injury. I wasn't sure how he would adjust on the defensive end. I know it's easier to kind of come back on the offensive end because all you can really do off of injury is you can't really get into full game action in terms of defense. But that's what stood out to me the most as of this Atlanta game. But
yeah, he kind of chose a good game to come back, if you ask me, because Atlanta, I mean – I was impressed with his defense too. From the film and some videos I've been watching of him coming back. But I mean, when you're being asked to probably guard Taurean Prince, I mean, probably not. Guys off their bench like A. White the third. I don't even know who that is. So or Andre Bembry or yep. Whatever his name is. So I mean, probably not the most challenging on the defensive end for him, but I mean, he did his job nonetheless. You just guard whoever you're assigned. So, and as far as the offensive end, I think he'll get it figured out. Obviously, it's his first game back. He'll get his feet wet still with probably him seeing a bit more minutes each time he goes out there. But it was overall good to see him back on the floor because I just think this adds so much more depth at the small forward position, especially, which we've needed. As we said, kind of sucks that we're not going to get to see much of Poitras anymore. But when you got Corey Joseph, Lance, him, maybe when TJ Leaf is finally healthy, and then Sabonis coming off bench, that bench, all five of those guys are a threat to score any night. So we'll see what he does going forward, but it's a good sign so far.
Yeah, one thing on Robinson I noticed particularly, one is, it, like I said, it was like the most effortless 19 minutes. He literally just stood in the corner for a good 60 to 70% of his plays on offense at least. But on that first missed shot, I remember watching, had to have been 2 or 3 years ago, when Steph Curry came back from his injury in the playoffs, and he did the exact same thing on his first shot. So I think it's more just a thing of like when you, the nerves of being in the NBA game once again, and sort of just so much adrenaline pumping and so much just hype up that you just sort of miss that last shot. It's not really anything to worry about.
Oh yeah, I agree. I mean, don't worry about it much, because if Steph did it, I mean, and as if Steph Curry messes up, I mean, that's not much. So Glenn Robinson is fine. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Tony, we should talk about Sabonis, right? The way he played, it was probably the best game. Maybe it's not the best game of the season, but one of his better games, obviously 9 of 13. I think we got to talk about him.
9 of 13, but that was awesome because, you know, Sabonis is Sabonis. For me, big thing here, 5 offensive rebounds. We gripe all the time, me mostly, actually, about the rebounding. And, you know, in a game like this, they had 17 turnovers, which, like, isn't, like, terrible, but it's pretty high. And they were able to still put up, Cody said this before the show, 101 shots because, you know, they were getting those offensive rebounds and gaining more possessions. And a lot of that was Sabonis. No one else had more than 2 offensive rebounds. You know, when he's hitting the glass like that and scoring in the mid-range, that's when he's the most effective to me. And especially against a team like the Hawks that doesn't really have a guy who can play him and get into him like that, you know, he's going to thrive. And that's why he played more minutes than Turner by 8 minutes.
Part of that was foul trouble, too.
Yes,
for Turner, he's got to figure that out. I know he gets called for some tic tac fouls, but he's got to figure that out. But with Sabonis, though, the 5 offensive rebounds, we were talking about this, you and me, Tony, over text. Was we compared Sabonis last to Al Horford. I thought maybe he could be more like Steven Adams. Like, it's the offensive rebounding that you said sort of would take him to that Steven Adams level if he ever got there.
Let's combine Al Horford and Steven Adams. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, then you'd have a top 5 center.
There it is. Me and Adam get higher and higher on Sabonis every week, I swear.
Yeah, he has like a week of 0-10s, and then we're like, damn.
Yeah. I've personally loved Sabonis, just what he's done in this system. Obviously, he's been able to shine a lot more because Dylan and I have talked about this on our show. Back when he was his rookie year last year in OKC, it was basically stand on the 3-point line, Russell finds you the ball, and he'll expect you to make a 3, which is not Sabonis' game, as we've came to see from this season, where he's a lot of a back-to-the-basket type of guy and can shoot the mid-range just fine. So he's finding his true form here in Indiana, and I really – Pacers fans obviously love to see that.
I agree. I love Sabonis. I love what he's been able to do. I don't know if he's kind of a game-changer because I don't think anybody – is really new to the game, at least, is going to be a back-to-the-basket kind of center. I don't know if he's going to kind of bring back that whole stigma or not, but, I mean, he's dominating opponents in the post, so it's good to see.
Yep.
I'm trying to find it. There was a lineup with Glenn and Sabonis and Turner at the end of the first quarter. I was like, wow, every Pacers fan is having a dream scenario right now. Vic wasn't in, but it was so close to like the dream lineup for
fun. The dream lineup is the Joseph, Vic, Robinson, Sabonis, Turner, because that like could be the future lineup.
I think Joe Young was in because I tweeted something like, wow, this is super fun.
Well, then that could be the future too, technically.
Joe Young was playing well last night.
Joe Young had 8 rebounds. Oh my god.
Yeah, Joe Young was hawking the boards, man.
Good for him.
Yeah, well, no one on Atlanta boxes out. They actually are a team, one of those teams that, like, when they put up a shot, they run back because they like to prevent transition opportunities. So it's kind of easier to get more rebounds against them. Like, I don't want to take away from it. They still got them, but
yeah.
But here's the lineup. I found it. It was Joe Young, Lance, GR3, Domas, and Turner. How fun is that, man?
Oh my god,
that's a hoot.
Do we think Joe Young has earned himself? Like, he's gonna get his option picked up next year by the way he's played his last
3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who's a better cheap fifth guard?
No, yeah. I don't have an option. I think you're right. I just was wondering what the room was thinking.
I'm agreeing, but I said it in a weird way. Sorry.
Said it in an aggressive way, Tony. Why not?
I take that. Wow, some banter early on, Adam. We're getting the show today.
I just really, as I mentioned on our show, I really love Joe Young. I like what he can possibly bring because – don't know how long. I mean, Corey Joseph, he's probably just in a plug-in probably for the next maybe. I don't know what his contract situation is off the top of my head, but probably for the next year or two. And maybe Joe Young can be our point guard of the future. I really hope he can because when he's given playing time, he's obviously played well because he's a 3-point shooter, obviously. Didn't shoot it well in this game, but 2 of 7, but he was 2 of 3 from behind the arc. And obviously those 8 rebounds. So for a point guard to crash the boards like that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And another thing with Joe Young is, like, I think for a long time, the idea of Joe Young has always been way more appealing than Joe Young. But now I think that Joe Young is more appealing than the idea of Joe Young, because the idea of Joe Young this year was like, can this guy even play? And now we know he can play a little bit.
I still don't think he's starter.
Oh, not a chance. No.
Oh, no.
I think his ceiling is probably a nice 6-man point guard. But I still don't think, because he still makes like boneheaded mistakes now and then.
I don't even think he'll ever reach 6-man, but I think he could be in a rotation and not kill you.
Yeah, I think he could be backup point guard someday.
Yeah.
I think that's his max. But
and for $1.5 million, you might as well keep him. I mean, you can't find a cheaper player with on that talent level, at least, unless you're picking, like, you hit your draft pick at number like 15 or a second round pick.
True.
Speaking of guys with ceilings of backup point guard potential, 10-day contract recipient Trey McKinney-Jones, after Nate McMillan said he would not play, did play 1 minute and did absolutely nothing. We got a $1 billion, folks.
No, it's the $1 trillion club. Club trill, thanks to shout out Mark Titus.
Club trillion, baby. But he only played a minute, so I don't feel that bad.
Well, I mean, obviously those players are going to get some. I mean, it's good to see those guys get playing time, especially when in a blowout like this. I mean, you need us, as I mentioned, I would have liked to see more, maybe have him play. I think 10 would be a push and maybe asking a bit too much, but I mean, give him 6 to 8 minutes, see what he can do. I mean, we brought him on a 10-day contract, and so there's not much we can really see what he can do if we don't see him on the court much. Obviously, you're going to dictate that in practice and stuff like that.
But hey, who had a Trey McKinney-Jones, Glenn Robinson, Lance Stephenson, Poitras, and Lupin lineup bingo?
Oh. I did not, but also I don't know if anybody. Tony likes to live on the fringes of talking about the 10-day guys and all that stuff, which is fine. Hit them once, but we don't have to dignify it with more than like a 2-minute talk. I mean,
Trey Adam, I like to talk about stuff no one else. The minutia is fun for me.
I know. No, I agree. It's probably one of the. It's what adds the next level to this podcast is your kind of like in the weedsness of stuff. But I don't think the general NBA of the show is like, oh yeah, I want a 10-minute conversation on Trey McKinney-Jones.
Well, I'll move on.
Well, let's go.
Trey McKinney-Jones probably only got his contract because of an injury to one other than Darren Collison. And I think we have a little more information. We know for sure he's out against the Dallas game tonight, which we'll talk about momentarily. But it sounds like he'll be out for maybe like a decent amount of time, right? It sounds like he'll be out for this whole road trip.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing McMillan say.
With a knee injury, I was surprised it was 2-3 weeks. For arthroscopic knee surgery, no matter what you do, it cannot be just 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we're saying, mid-March he's going to be back?
I hope it's not that long. they play every other day for the next forever, like we just said. So maybe by the end of this road trip he'll be back, but that is not good. We're about to see a healthy dose of Joe Young and Corey Joseph. Thankfully, we have some easy opponents coming up.
Yeah, I wonder if they're taking some caution too.
I would obviously.
I would hope, that they do, because you don't want to rush him back and then have like a meniscus or something like that. Just what? Because of what Jimmy Butler just had.
Because
he's out 4 to 6 weeks now, and we don't need DC out that long because we could definitely, obviously, need him.
So long as he plays Zaza Pachulia, we'll be fine.
And if you see the way the Pacers did the Glenn Robinson injury, they really waited till he was 100%. I mean, Robinson doesn't at least in shape wise, looks, you know, not like he was rushed back even a little bit. So they're probably going to hold Collison out at least another week, if not. I mean, honestly, it might just be two. I mean, the opponents are coming up besides the Milwaukee Washington stretch. It's not like until Boston on March 11th, it's nobody that they can't beat without him.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And even on a minutes restriction, the way Young and Joseph have been playing, when he returns, I'm not super worried. So I think it'll be okay. It stinks that it's longer than we anticipated.
Yeah, that's very true.
But we're about to play one of DC's former teams with Adam on Monday against the Dallas Mavericks, who they lost to at home, devastating, right after Christmas, I think, was that game? Was it the 26th?
Yep, it was the
right after Christmas, it was the fatality injury, everything, all that
stuff. Yes. That was awful. That game was like, I thought for sure they were going to win that game, and then they blew it.
Were you at that game, Tony? Did you go to it?
I was, in fact, at that game. You got to shout out my dad on this one because he was on crutches, and we crutched around Baker's life together.
Did you just get him like some kind of like handicap seating or no?
We didn't know he was going to be on crutches when we got the tickets.
Oh, well, you got to like ask a attendant to sit up top, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it was something else. But they were playing fine. Like, they played okay. Their offense was rough in this one. They only finished with 94, but they really blew it in the fourth. And this Mavs team, first of all, they're in a heck of a state of disarray right now. A lot of storylines going on around them. So this game could be just weird in general. I think it's their first home game since all this stuff's gone down. So I'm not really sure what to expect. But also, Cuban kind of said and got massively fined for it, saying that they're basically tanking. So, you know, maybe Dallas doesn't give it their all in these kind of games, but it's going to be a weird game with all the storylines and the Cuban thing going on.
And underrated storyline too is the Dennis Smith stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. I
agree. So it won't affect anyone in the pros. Like, we actually never talked about that on our show, Adam. Sumner got named in that report too.
Yeah. It won't affect the pros, but if he's being interviewed by the FBI, that's just something. I mean, that weighs on your mind.
Sure. Yeah.
That Dallas doesn't need any more on their mind.
Yeah, seriously. I feel bad. Like, I talked to Nick Angstad, the host of Locked On Mavs. He's got his work cut out for him. And Isaac, they got their work cut out for him this week because there's so many storylines going on around this team right now.
Yeah, I don't know how you talk about them. I mean the college basketball stuff is fine. I mean, ESPN spent yesterday, I don't know how many hours bringing it up. I watched a couple of college basketball. Well, it's going to change
everything.
But some of the domestic violence stuff and Mark Cuban said, I mean, that's just a tricky situation to navigate.
Oh, man. I don't even know. I don't know what to say.
It's difficult.
Where do you even start with something? Yeah, where do you even start with something like that?
I feel like everybody in the sports world is getting affected by it.
Yeah. We'll have to see how this goes for the Mavs, you know, both on the court and off, because it could have quite the ripple effects. And you got to imagine, we had to touch on it because it's the Mavs. You know, you got to imagine it'll have ripple effects to every team. But, you know, this is a litmus test for what could be happening.
Yeah. Can we just be happy, though, in this game that Lance Stevenson isn't starting?
Was this during that weird stretch? Oh, that was the first game of the no Vic stretch?
This was the game where Lance dribbled the ball off his foot when they were down two with a minute left, like, or 30 seconds left.
Yeah, and I got to hit you with I told you so. Even he had four turnovers in this game.
Yeah,
he actually played a good game.
He had six. Bojan was 5 of 13, too, so I told you so.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, February's been a good month for Bojan. So.
He didn't play great against the Hawks, but I'm glad we glossed over that. Good job, everybody.
Okay. I mean, overall, he's had a good month.
Yes, he has.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, the first Mavs game was just weird. Like, without Vic, you know, that's part of the – like I said, they only scored 94 points. That was a lot of it. And Lance was going crazy on the glass, like 15 rebounds from a guard is some kind of crazy. All the starters played 34-plus minutes, and they still lost. It was a weird game.
Yeah, and nobody scored more than 16 points.
Yeah. Which looks like a balanced attack until you realize that they only scored 94.
Yeah, and they still could have won this game. They probably won this game 94-92 if they had made one or two extra stops or didn't turn over.
They played good, and the thing is, all the Mavs starters were like, Dirk was the best at plus six. Everyone else is like hanging around the middle. And then Dwight Powell, who was terrible last year, was plus 13, 12 points on 4-6 shooting. Like, he has been a godsend for them, you know, cutting through the lane and playing decent defense. So, you know, maybe in this game with some better play from Sabonis off the bench, who was a minus five, they could easily pull it out.
Yeah, and this might have been the game where they actually should have maybe started Joe Young instead of Stevenson, just because Corey Joseph seemed lost without Stevenson on the bench.
He was not good.
No, he was not.
He was okay on offense. He was not that good in this game. I remember that.
My worst plus-minus reason probably they lost.
14. Holy cow. What happened in Poitras' 2 minutes? Minus eight, good Lord.
Oh, poor Alex Poitras.
Yikes, that is concerning. You guys remember that game very well? Do you have any thoughts on how they can improve on that?
I mean, I remember this game. I was in full belief that we were going to win.
Me too.
I mean, even without Vic, I was like, oh, we're at home. We were playing well at home. And just, I don't remember what happened. What day was this? I can't even remember.
26,
27th? 27th, December 27th.
That was over our Christmas break. Trying to think if I watched it. I can't remember if I did or not. But overall, just we should have won this game regardless. I understand you kind of slip into a funk against some teams, but overall, there's Dallas with the way Dallas was playing at the time. They were 3-14 on the road, and they come in to Bankers Life and just beat us. So, I mean, games like this happen. I understand that, but even without Vic, I still think we should have won. And one real quick side note, I'm just really random, but the first video that ESPN has pulled up from this game is the gender reveal from
Wilkins.
Wilkins. That's the first video ESPN has pulled up.
That was the first sign of the times that they were going to wave him, because like they're like rushing through these like weird gender reveals and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd get that out of the way too.
Because that's funny. I forgot about that. You know, yeah. I think they should have won this game regardless of just them being lesser opponent, because they were up by 6 with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
It hurt they were on a back-to-back too.
Yeah, that does suck.
And they were down a guy, so they're really in an 8-man rotation, it looks like. I mean, it was a lot of things that and normally would have been signs, oh, yeah, this team's not going to win, but it was the Mavs, so we thought they might still win.
Yeah, I thought they were definitely going to win.
Yeah.
Dirk killed everybody. 7-10.
I'd just like to point out that the game tomorrow on ESPN, they have the Dallas predicting as the matchup winner, 51% to us, 48% winning, so...
Wow. I don't know
what Power Knicks is all entails, but I'm going to call some BS here. So
yeah, what the F? Sorry, I turned the cuss.
No, good coverage there. Now I don't have to put the explicit tag on this bad boy.
I mean,
no one will ever know what you're trying to say with that one.
How is Dallas even remotely favored in this game?
The only thing I can
say. Because they won the first time in Indiana?
At home?
Yeah, but we didn't have Vic. They didn't have a pick, which is like the best player on their team. Like it made sense why they didn't win.
Accepted counterpoint.
I don't get ESPN half the time anyway, because their depth charts and all their stuff is just out of whack. So I don't get who does their percentages or how they determine them, but
or their depth charts.
Yeah, their positions are weird.
Yeah,
a lot of the time
they don't keep up to date with their injuries really.
But I actually, me and Adam do what we call butchers and X factors. So who we think on the Mavs is going to have a really good game that could be key, and who on the Pacers is going to be key for success. And like the first time, I picked Dirk as my butcher because Zach Lowe wrote about it and called it office hours. When Dirk goes to work on the elbow, he's just got like the know-how to beat anybody. And because everyone who's going to guard him on the Pacers is so young, I think he has an opportunity to have another good game. So he's my butcher.
I'm
towards Dennis Smith Jr., just my opinion. I like the way he's been playing. I don't know. He seems like he'll take advantage of the Joseph matchup a little bit. He's a much bigger player than Joseph, which will be kind of hard for Joseph to guard. But I like Dennis Smith Jr. to have a good game.
Since we're doing I'm going to have variety, and I'm not going to double up with anyone. So I'm going to go with Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is one of those players that you don't know if he'll go 5 points or if he'll go for 30.
Yeah,
he's one of those. Obviously, during his time with Golden State, he was very underrated. But and we touched on the defensive struggle with Bojan a little bit. But so Bojan's gonna have to try and do his best. I don't know if Thad will be too busy with Dirk, so we wouldn't put Thad on Harrison. So Bojan's just got to hold his own, and hopefully Harrison's shot isn't falling that night.
I just want to throw J.J. Barea into the mix. I mean, he does lead the Mavs in assists, which I kind of find hilarious. But I have love for undersized point guards. So.
And you didn't pick Yogi after all that, and after his fire of kicking Isaiah Thomas's shoe? Come on.
Oh, I'm a Purdue fan, so I've got no love for IU fans. So.
Wow, Tony, that's a shot right at you.
Wow.
do you think you did Yogi like – thought it was his shoe or just sort of like saw something on the court and kicked it? Like,
I don't know what that was. That was super weird. Isaiah Thomas was like rightfully mad. Like he kicked his shoe out.
No, I understand, but it looked like Yogi just like saw something on the court and was like just trying to kick it out of the way.
Oh, maybe.
Like he didn't even look down. He just sort of like just kind of like looked, like turned his head and kicked it, which I'm not sure was like, I don't know. It seemed like he might have just thought it was something on the court and trying to get it off.
It looked really funny.
Yeah, and it looked funny watching a Yogi who is arguably the shortest point guard. One of the short point guards would be going against another point guard who's also much shorter than him.
Yeah, a combined height under 11 feet for the first time.
Isaiah's so much smaller than Yogi, and I always thought Yogi was tiny too.
Oh, I'm taller than
Yogi. Tony, just random topic here.
Yes.
What was your nervous level and pissed off level of the Ohio State game against?
Well, I was busy watching the Pacers game, and I was in the locker room after. So I came out expecting to check the box score and being like, oh, it's over. How'd we do? And it just went into overtime. So I actually stopped at a bar walking home and watched the rest. But I'm not super nervous. I don't know. I think Ohio State was better. So I was like, okay, well, if we lose, we lose. But it was a really fun game to watch. I was just nervous that they were going to, you know, like look embarrassed in overtime or something like that. I just think they were overmatched. Oh, no. They looked okay.
As a Buckeye fan, I my heart was like almost about to come out.
Ohio State looks great this year, so congratulations to them. I thought they were going to not be very good.
Oh, yeah. Chris Holman for Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
We can get back to –
Ohio State's going down the recruiting scandal for sure, so who cares?
And Trevor Holman, though, been mentioned, so
yet.
Hey, you guys were mentioned in the OG and Anobi and Thomas Bryant trading for Miles Bridges, so
everyone's going down. I know it's gonna happen. Anyway, I forgot to do this. The Mavs are 26th in pace, 19th in defense, 22nd in offense. Basically, not that good at anything. My X factor is because they have a bunch of short point guards. Sorry, is Corey Joseph, because he has an opportunity to do a lot of stuff in this game. He'll have open passing lanes and an easier defensive assignment than normal.
I think I picked this last time. I like Joseph. I think I picked Turner last time, and I'm going to do it again because Turner likes to. He's copying his game off Dirk a little bit. You can see it in the way he tries that, like the 1 foot off the one leg falling shot sort of thing. I forget what that's called. The fadeaway 1 footer, I guess, is what I'm calling it. So he likes to kind of match his game to Dirk. So I wonder if, you know, he looks up to Dirk in some sense, and playing going against him wants to prove something.
I'm gonna go with I like Bojan. I think this. I like him to. I don't say he's gonna score 20 plus or anything, but I think he could have a good night from three, hopefully. It's one of those better nights. He's had a good month of February, and so obviously from that bad month of January that he had. So I think overall it's going to be a really good game, but Bojan should be the X factor for me.
I'm going to go with GR. I think this could be GR's.
That's a bold. Nice pick.
So I think this could be a breakout, mean like 12, 14 points, but I think it could be something that he's got one game under his belt, and now he comes out more confident and can really kind of put his stamp on the game. So I think that's what happens.
I hope that's the right pick. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We'll do score predictions later. They have another game this week against the mighty Atlanta Hawks. We don't have to talk too much about this because they literally just played. You guys know a lot about the Hawks because you just saw their 11-man deep roster featuring guys like Tyler Dorsey and Isaiah Taylor, who are complete NBA world beaters. They are still pretty close to where we saw them last time. 14th in pace, 23rd in offense, 25th in defense. A bad basketball team with bad basketball players.
So Tony, let's do this. Let's just say one thing we think will be different between the games. I don't think we need to do X factors and a bunch of stuff like that.
Love that idea.
One thing we think might be different.
Okay, I'll do a hot take one first before we start. Is that cool? Can I do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
right. Ersan Ilyasova might be a member of the Pacers.
Oh, interesting.
On the waivers?
So my follow-up to that is, talked about this in the Slack chat, shout out to Wolfer again. What is the Pacers' weakest position should they decide to strengthen up for the playoff run would be backup power forward, right? And Ilyasova just got bought out. He'd fit in nicely. I think he'll probably go to Milwaukee because he has family there, but not crazy to think that he would fit in here nicely.
No, I mean, we could use a nice stretch four off the bench.
And they've got the money to pay him.
Yeah. How much do you think he's going to get on the market? Five?
I don't know. No, not that much. He only got six a year in free agency.
Okay, yeah, so we're probably thinking more. Well, there's a bidding market he might be able to get to five.
Yeah, who knows?
Like Monroe got to five.
Right, we'll see. So that's my hot take. My more reasonable expectation change for this one is I think Joe Young's going to play a little better. He wasn't shooting too well, but, you know, Malcolm Delaney was the backup point guard for the Hawks, and I think Joe Young's better than him, and I think Joe Young's better than Isaiah Taylor. So, you know, 8 rebounds is very impressive, but I think he's got a chance to do more with the ball in this next game.
I want to say Miles Turner's like going to have a better game, which I mean, it's not really much of a dramatic saying, but I think he could have a 20-point game, especially in Atlanta.
You really stole what I was about to say, Dylan.
Come on. Oh, I have a habit of doing it.
We do a negative one. I think Sabonis has a worse game. How about that?
Wow. Well, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
I guess I could go that route. I mean, because if Miles has a better game and hopefully doesn't get as much fouls as he's been getting, he'll probably see more minutes, obviously. And that would mean less minutes and probably production for Sabonis. But I'm going to go with, you know what? I think Vic drops 35-40.
Ooh.
I could see this being just a Vic explosion because we all know he's capable of it. So.
Yeah, I don't know if I see that because against these bad teams, they always just are really evenly distributed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
And if Vic's struggles continue, Adam, we're going to have to talk about that soon.
It's been one game with. Yeah, let's calm down.
It's been a few games.
Been one game, mostly, Tony. We'll talk about
mostly,
it later.
It's mostly shooting struggles. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, but that was the end of mine. I think Vic could have. Because he needs. Obviously, we've been talking about it a little bit, but his shooting struggles. I think this could be a game where he shoots well and maybe gets back into the type of Vic that we've been seeing in the first half.
Would love that.
For most of the first half.
My one take is I think this is the first game we say, oh, Cleveland Robinson's actually back. I think he might have a 10-point game, something. You know, I'm not too over-dramatic. He's going to go for 20 or anything, but I think he might shoot more than 1-3. He'll have seen the Hawks, so he'll really reason, so he might know how to play their defense better and how to get, you know, certain open looks. I think maybe he'll take 3 or 4 threes and hit a couple and get to 10 points, which will be kind of like a nice little benchmark for him as he makes his recovery.
I would like that very much. Maybe Trey McKinney-Jones plays a little more.
Is that a hot take if Trey McKinney-Jones gets 10 minutes?
I mean, they got to use him eventually, right? They only have him for 10 days, but
yeah.
They don't have to do anything.
In terms of the Hawks changes, I don't have a ton. You know, they didn't hit the glass very, like I said, they like to get back in transition. I think they would like to prevent some of those second chance points. So maybe more John Collins a little bit. He's a pretty strong rebounder, but they're also trying to lose, and John Collins is one of their better players. So it's going to be a challenge for them to figure all that out. So tough to really say what I see the Hawks changing, but I think this is going to be another easy win.
I would agree. I think they win by 20 easily, an easy 20.
Ooh, on the road, nice.
I'll say 15.
On the road, I think 15.
Yeah, 15. I agree with 15.
I'm going to go with 12.
Ooh.
A little complacency after an easy win at home.
But isn't Atlanta the worst home court in like the entire league, maybe?
They're last in attendance, so yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if going to Atlanta is like – I mean, I imagine there's maybe 8,000 fans there now per game with how bad they are.
Gosh, man, they were bad.
He was that best, the ankle breaker guy, whatever his name.
Oh yeah, oh,
that's more entertaining than the actual games nowadays.
Yeah,
come on.
How they have fallen though. They were once a 60-win team like 3 years ago.
Thanks to the Jeff Teague.
Yeah. Yep, and now I don't. Yeah, no one is on that roster. Well, no starter, I think.
They're about to have Luka Doncic. That's what they're gonna have.
Yes.
I mean, Schroeder was off the bench, so.
Dennis Schroeder might be the most overrated player in basketball. Do you want to do a Mavs score prediction, Adam? I'll let you go first.
Mavs score, I think it's another win. Probably by 10 or 15. Sorry for the sirens.
It's twice.
Well, I'm recording near a hospital. What can I say? There's stuff going down here at Syracuse all the time.
People Adam's arrest warrant has really changed our podcast.
I think they beat the Mavs by 10 to 15. I think this is where going on the road, they don't blow them out, but I think it's not a super hard win.
I said 20-21.
I'm going to stick with a 10-point win.
Yeah, everything in Dallas going on makes this one harder, but I like the 15 range as well. I think Dallas will be a lot worse, and Vic's going to change it from the first time. Do we have anything we would like you guys would like to promote before we get out of here?
I mean, go ahead, Dylan.
Do you want to talk about how we have Jeremiah Johnson on Tuesday?
Yes, actually, good point. We are going to have Jeremiah Johnson on our show, a special episode we usually record on Sundays. But obviously we're with you guys today, so we're gonna do our podcast on Tuesday night at 7, I believe. Yeah,
ish, 7 yeah. o'clock,
and gonna be a bit later than usual, obviously. But we're gonna have Jeremiah Johnson on and just talk about recent Pacers stuff and pick his brain about some things. So it's gonna be a good show.
He's a blast.
He really is. I saw you guys had him on.
It was really fun.
Tony, him or Buds?
I wish we could say the same thing.
we are buds. Him and Pat Boylan were rocking a nice pinstripe match in suits during that game. Anyway, Adam, what about you? What are you writing this week?
I am. Then we'll post eventually on Wednesday, like it always does. We should promote, though, that we'll be on Dash Radio on Tuesday, premiering 6 to 7 Eastern time. Yeah. And then, obviously, we'll be on the rest of the week with our usual shows. We'll
do scheduled programming.
Yeah, we'll tweet out a schedule. We'll have already probably tweeted out a schedule for the week after some point on Sunday, so you can just look back on our Twitter page to see what we've our plans for the week.
My goodness, we keep saying we're going to do that, and we forget every time.
No, we're going to remember when we plan it after this.
You're right. Always look out for the Indy Cornrows Adam Friedman piece of the week. I don't really know what I'll do. Talk to Joe Young a little after the game. Probably have something about that. Probably write something about Glenn Robinson's minutes. Other than that, I got not a lot. So, guys, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Oh, go ahead, Adam.
I would say grab a West. When is your story post in the West Indy newspaper?
Oh, yes. Wednesday.
So grab a copy of that, guys. Everybody check that out.
Second one, West Indianapolis Community News. It's so weird. I got off the first one. It's like super weird to see. thanks for coming on. You two. How are you?
One last thing I forgot.
Okay.
I recently got a – I'm a writer for – I don't know if you guys have heard of Blue HQ Media.
Yes.
I'm a Pacers writer for them now, and I just had my first article, Why Kevin Pritchard Should Probably Get Some Love for Executive of the Year, my personal opinion. But, yeah, I'm going to be writing a lot more for them, so check out my Pacer articles on BlueHQMedia.com. I'll be – sharing them on social media and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Terrific. Gage Bridgeford writes about the Colts for them. So, awesome. Yeah,
they're a good group of guys.
They are. Other than that, you can follow – is it at Pacers Pride Pod or at podcast for Twitter?
It's Pacers Pride Pod.
Yeah.
You can follow them to keep up with their shows. They do live ones too, which they got us beat there. That's pretty cool. Adam is at FriedmanAdam5. Cody, what's yours?
At CodyEmerson1.
All right, Dylan.
At Dylan Dinehart.
Everybody.
Go to the Pacers one. It's linked in the bio. My name, last name's a travesty. So.
I like that. Okay. Adam at FriedmanM5, of course. Corgi Pick. You got to change it, man. We got to make this happen.
Someday. Not right now. Until I really become a professional man of the year, I will leave it the way it is.
I'm at T East NBA. We are at Locked On Pacers. Getting very close to 350. Come on, guys. Let's do it by the end of the week. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a Mavericks recap. Thanks for stopping by Pacers Pride Pod. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Have a great week, everybody.